Wendell said, sit down. I want to say, me too. We're going to talk about heaven this morning. Been requested to. We may blow up some of the things in that song. Not exactly blow them up, but take a little different look at some of those things. Heaven. What do you know about heaven? Well, not as much as we think, and not as much as we hear, but a great deal. Because there's very limited information given to us of heaven, but there is no shortage of the imagination on our part with regard to it. The only thing is that regarding our imagination, as we will see, I doubt that we even touch the hem of the garment. Let me try to make this personal for all of us, and let's go back. Let's think. What are your thoughts regarding heaven? What do you long for? What do you look for? In March of 2009, I lost my dad. 3 months later, I lost my first wife, Kathy. The thoughts hit me quite a bit during the time that passed since then. Sure, there were thoughts of longing to go to heaven to see her, longing to go to heaven to see them. And there is some aspect of that in the Bible. Not as much as you would think. There is one particular reference to it when David says regarding the son that he lost, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. And so there is some aspect of that. But I couldn't help but be overwhelmed with the thought, if that's why I want to go there, then I'm missing something drastically. And if that's why I want to go there, I may be missing the whole thing. But what is heaven? And what do you think of with regard to it? We don't know a lot. And yet we do. But regarding not knowing a lot, I want you to read with me a couple of verses. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's verses 1 through 4. And this becomes a very important passage of Scripture when we consider the topic of heaven. And this is why I will say we're not going to say a whole lot from the standpoint of our imagination. We're going to say a whole lot from the standpoint of what God tells us. And the reason why I say we don't know a whole lot about it is because God didn't intend for us to. But he intended for us to know what we need to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first four verses, Paul says, boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable. He's regretting having to share with people that ought to know him a defense of his apostleship and the fact of God's Spirit being in him. He says in connection with this, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. You want me to boast and brag? Okay, I will. Let me share you some things God has done for me. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven is referred to by the Jews as the highest of the heavens. It's referred to as being beyond the sky, beyond the atmosphere, beyond space. It is referred to as the dwelling place of God. And Paul says, I know a man who 14 years ago was caught up to that third heaven. Whether it was in spirit and he was separated from his body, or he went body and spirit, I don't know. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know. God knows. He was caught up into paradise, the garden, the restoration of the garden that was lost, the description of heaven. He was caught up into paradise and he heard words that cannot be uttered. And from that, he also expounds and he says, these words are inexpressible and these words cannot be shared because no man is permitted to speak them. So here was the opportunity to tell us what it was like, and he was not allowed. Here is the opportunity to explain to us what he saw, and he tells us that regarding it, he was not allowed to. And almost immediately, the mind will go to the book of Revelation and say, what about all that description of heaven? Read it carefully. Is it heaven being described? Or is it God's view of his holy, glorious, wonderful body of people called the church? And I think you will find in Revelation, those streets of pure gold are describing the absolute immense value and the beauty of this city that rests on the foundation of the apostles. And this city that encompasses all nations of the world and serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is his bride. His bride that is his body. And in heaven, God shows us his view of his people. Or rather, in Revelation, God shows us his view of his people. And so Paul writes this, I saw it, but I'm not permitted to talk about it. And I'm not permitted to share what I saw. That goes along with what John writes. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. John, this is the man who writes the book of Revelation. And he says this in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and the first three verses. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We are the children of God here. What will we be there? We don't know. That hasn't appeared yet. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has his hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. That passage speaks volumes about heaven, but it doesn't fit our imaginations. But it goes directly to the point God wants us to have. Let me see if I can help us get a little vision of this. And from here, we're going to look at some of the things that we're told about heaven. And we're going to look at three verses that help us get a little bit of a sense of what this is going to be like, what this place will be like. And then we're going to go look at the verse where Jesus tells us all he wants to tell us and all that we need to know about heaven. But in these three verses, we're going to look at something. And before we take a look at them, I want you to think with me about something. When Jesus was here, when he walked this earth, when he was the Word become flesh and he dwelt among us, and his feet got dirty like everybody else's, he got hungry like everybody else. He felt pain like everybody else. He hurt like everybody else. He had dread like everybody else. When he walked this earth and he was in every point just like us, how different was he from when he was in heaven? How different was his mind? How different was his heart? How different was his devotion? How different was his love for God? How different was his understanding of the reality of God? How different was his understanding that he lived in God's presence? How different was his thought process? So how different was he than when he was in heaven? Now look at these verses. And I want you to catch a glimpse of what we have just read in the book of 1 John chapter 3. We don't know yet what we will be, but we know this. We will be like him. And when we see him, we will see him. Because we will be like him. Now look at these verses and read them carefully with me. The first one is this one. We go back to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a couple of verses, verses 17 and 18. Here is what we are to be. Think about it. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Spirit of the Lord carries with it the idea of being in the image and likeness of. He walks in the spirit of Elijah, they said about Elisha. That means he looks just like him. Not physically, but he acts just like him. He walks in the spirit of David. That means he has characteristics and qualities just like him. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, not like Moses putting the veil on and covering, and not like the Israelites are reading the scriptures now with veiled face, they don't see it clearly. The veil is removed. With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We take off the veil and we look at Jesus. And as we focus on Jesus, we're transformed into his likeness. We become like him. Jesus never lost that image of God. When he came, he was the same mindset, same spirit, same heart, same life that he had in that spiritual realm called heaven. And he lived it here. And as we focus on him, we're transformed into his image. We are transformed into his likeness, into his mindset, into his heart, into his spirit. The next one, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship, the country to which I belong, my place, my people. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If my desire of heaven is not him, then I'm missing the whole thing. Who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. We, by focusing on him, are changing our mind and our heart and our spirit into his image. And he, by his glory and his power, will change our humble, lowly body into a likeness of his glorious one. And that's heaven. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, there's an image here of baptism. But the image is not to the act of baptism as much as it is the mindset when an individual is baptized. And the mindset is, I'm no longer alive, now Jesus is alive in me. And I will no longer live to do what I want. I will live to be like him. That's the mindset. And so Paul, capturing that and understanding it, starts with the deeper sense. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, you died to yourself, and you've been raised to walk in a new life with Christ, to put yourself to death and let him live in you, then keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So the reverse. Jesus, who was in heaven, came here and he never changed. And he came here so we could change. So we could stop living like everybody around us. And we put our focus on Christ and we become like him. And if we are striving to become like him, then we will, when he comes, wear his glory. So heaven is how we're striving to live right now. Heaven, meaning in the presence of God and to please him, And then the image and likeness of Christ is how we're striving to live now. And those who are striving to live that way now are the ones who will be in his glory. That's a little different than our imagination. That's a little different than we normally think. Because we sing a song. And I can't, there it is. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. Well, if you're not trying to go right now, you're not ever going to go. Because we are living right now to be like him, in his image and in his likeness. So why don't I want to go right now? What is it that I love more than I love heaven? What is it that I love more than I love being like him? What is it that I want more than I want to be like him? And we don't think God knows exactly who it is that's striving to live like him and to put on his glory and to live for the heavenly and to live for heaven. Why our imagination moves us away from what God would have us to know and what God would have us to do. So let's take a look at heaven. And the way that Jesus describes it for us, and the way that he described it to his apostles in that Last Supper in the book of John chapter 14. And we'll look at verses 1 through 4. We're going to have to hurry. What do you need to know about heaven? It is where God is. That's all you need to know. Heaven is my Father's house. This is where my Father dwells. Well, what do you know about this place? Because it's the place where the Father dwells. We're going to look at one in just a second. It's the place where all righteousness dwells. This is the place where love dwells, because God is love. This is the place where truth dwells, because God is truth. This is the place where everything is right because God is right. This is the place where God dwells because everything about God is what's there. And there is nothing else. This is the place where God dwells. In my Father's house, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26 verse 15 says, "Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel." And then Jesus, in the prayer that he teaches his apostles, says, "You say, 'Our Father who is in heaven.'" This is the place where God is. This is God's home. This is his house. This is where he dwells. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I'm sorry, but the song has it wrong. The song is an earthly understanding of these words. We even translate it sometimes as rooms. That doesn't get it either. The literal phrase is many dwelling places, and if you translate that, it means many places to stay or many places to dwell. Now, I want you to think with me for a second. And I shouldn't have said all of that before. We should have left the idea of mansions in our mind. But I want you to let your mind go and visualize your place. What do you have as a visual of your dwelling place in heaven? I'm sure you had one. Maybe mentally sending a blueprint to God. I'd like it to be something like this. So what is your dwelling place? What is it like? What's your visual? Is it something like that one? Maybe some of you think that's the shack out back. Is it something like that one? How about that one? I believe that's the Biltmore home. I believe a lot of people have been there. How about that one? None of those are big enough. Do you understand why? There's a book entitled How Big Is Your God? And if this is your vision, then you're making God way too small. What does it say? How about something like this? Because Peter says it's a new world. It's a new heaven. It's completely different. And this is nothing but the footrest God puts his feet on. So we're not even looking at the house. We're just looking at the footrest. When all of the universe is his throne, what does he have in mind for us? Back to John. Many dwelling places, many places to stay. According to his promise, according to God's promise, Peter says we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Can you imagine that? In this place called heaven, where God dwells, nothing is ever done that is wrong. Nothing ever happens that is not right. Because in this place where God dwells, there is righteousness. Everything is done right. And love and joy and peace and comfort are all there because of him. What do I need to know about heaven? It's the place where God is, where everything is done exactly according to the will of God. And then Jesus adds this: I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and bring you to where I am, so that there you will be also. A place prepared for Jesus for us. And I'm pretty happy with what he prepared for us first. But this one is going to be different. Because this one will be with God and in God's presence forever, where everything done will be in keeping with his will. A place perfect beyond our understanding and imagination for our every need. Paul writes it this way: Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. More than I can imagine. More than I can think, more than I can dream, is this place that he is preparing for us. And who is us? Those who behold his image and his likeness and are conforming themselves to his image and likeness and being transformed into his image and likeness. And those are the ones who will see him as he is and live with him in glory as God's children forever. So heaven starts here. In the way we change ourselves to think and to act and to be, in order to live lives that please him. Are you in Christ? Are you living for that day and that time when we get to go and to be with him? Are you living to be like him? Are you ready to put on Christ? Be baptized into him? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.